two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Okay, everybody, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled on a... Do we call it Thanksgiving Eve, Scott? Is that what this holiday is that we're celebrating? This unofficial holiday?
Well, some people, it's like Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Eve?
Yeah, it's like you can have Thanksgiving on Wednesday. It's like, I don't know, the Black Wednesday of Thanksgiving eating.
I keep telling people it's Friday.
Just pushing it back and
back. It feels like Friday. You know that weird feeling when you're kind of pushing yourself into that strange moment of... wondering if you're at the weekend yet. I thought it was
like,
payday today, man.
Like,
oh, no,
Saturday
we're still a few days away. So that's the deal, is that everybody looks at this time of year, and everybody's hitting the coast button about right now. People are walking out of their offices a few hours early if they haven't already left. So this is the time for us to be able to take advantage. Unrivaled is Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former Thanksgiving Day quarterback,
which was so fun, by the way.
Glorious days.
There was nothing better than playing on Thanksgiving.
You had some amazing Thanksgiving Day games. I think the best one of all was that 1995 game, which we will get into. And because Thanksgiving gives us this opportunity to find all of these fun lists, and when I say fun, when Scott Mitchell is mad about it, the fact that we're bringing up these lists. And fights against us doing these lists. Now, look at that sigh. See, that's the thing, is that this is why I love doing this. All right. We're going to jump in, though. We're going to do some Thanksgiving football stories because NFL and the Detroit Lions are synonymous with Thanksgiving. So we'll start right there with some of the great moments of Thanksgiving's past. It's the cut right here at the top of the show. Let's do it.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer.
Can we just skip the list? I'll go to Wasatch Medical if I don't have to do the list, okay?
Which ones?
You know what list. I don't want to do this list.
I want to bring up the list because
I was having such a nice festive...
I disagree with the list, too. So I just there. And I know you don't want us to bring it up, but I thought it was hilarious.
Do you
and I
know
you
what it's like to have your name eighth on the list? Do you know what that's like, Alex? Do you have any idea how humiliating
we'll get to it.
And annoying? And like, because I want to scream. I want to scream onto the screen.
Yeah.
And the list.
I get you.
There's no one to scream to.
Listen, here's the deal.
First, tired I want to defending myself.
I want to tell people,
sick
I'll defend you too. I'll defend you too.
Hate these people.
Scott had some amazing days in his career on Thanksgiving. And apparently it hasn't sunk in enough with some of the writers out there across America. So, first I want to tell you where we're at. We're at the General RV here at Point of the Mountain. Now, what are we doing? It's the end of our Tour de Fans, which all year long we've been repping the General RV brand and getting across the state of Utah. It's been an amazing year of college football here in the state of Utah, and I think we can all agree exceeding expectations for what we thought was going to happen this year, basically for all of the teams on there. So, but General RV, this is where we're at. We've started this thing here at the General RV dealership in Draper, and that's where we're going to end the Tour de Fans now that we're getting to the end of the college football season. The way we're going to celebrate is we've got a pair of Jazz tickets that you can enter to win if you come in and put your name in the box. These are not just a pair of Jazz tickets, Scott.
No, they're not, Alex.
These are third row, not third row upper bowl.
Yes.
This is – you are going to be spat upon by by some of the members of the Utah Jazz.
From the court up, it's like one, two, three.
Wait, what's three again?
One, two, three.
All right, perfect. Yes. I was just wondering because – if this is the one that you're wearing the placard, and when you see the price of the ticket on the placard, you kind of feel bad. But just for a second, because if you win them, you don't have to feel bad at all. So you come in, put your name in the box, you can get those, enter to win those tickets. And I'll just tell you right now, we were doing this on KSL. We only have a handful of these tickets or people who put their name in this for this thing. A high possibility for you to be able to come in and try to win these tickets. Just sign up here at the General RV in Draper and come say hi. This is how much we belong a part of this crew here, too. They have us in a cubicle like we're sales guys. This is like
We've actually sold a couple of RVs.
I could probably answer
already
a few questions. I might have some commission money coming my way.
We can totally sell.
So before we get into all of the show, we've got so many things to do. USC play-by-play voice Pete Arbogast is going to join us in the next segment here. We're going to talk some BYU, USC, and just kind of I want to get the vibe on how weird of a season it's been for SC, how strange of a year it's been, and locking that weird year out with BYU at home at the Coliseum. Although their season's not over because they still have to play that Cal game.
I can get BYU in the top 10.
See, that's it. Scott came into the
by
to the
end
General
of the
RV.
Season, I can get
tell
it
you
in
what
the
I'm going to do for you. Scott pulls out his book like he's Gordy Chiesa, and he's got these diagrams of how to get BYU in the New Year's Six.
And it's legit.
I think you might have an argument there.
It's legit.
I am just telling low self-esteem BYU fan out there, don't get your hopes up, because I just think that the Independence Bowl might just end up having to be the thing this year. Wait till you get to the Big 12. Things might change, but man. Let's start off first, though, on Thanksgiving. When I was growing up, I watched these games religiously. You have to have that game on. It's a perfect way to deflect any sort of family conversation that you want to avoid on Thanksgiving Day. And, Scott, in 1995, when I was 14 years old, I'm watching this game, and I'm like, Warren Moon and Scott Mitchell are basically just having a flame-throwing contest. It was – you guys got up early. I think it was 21 to 7, or it was maybe 21-3 right off the bat. You guys were up early. They come back. Then it's back and forth into the fourth quarter. You guys end up winning 44-38. How many yards did you throw for that day?
410.
Barry Sanders ran for 130, but I think that they got the numbers inverted on ESPN. They act like Barry Sanders was the only part of that offense because it was that one long run that they just showed on SportsCenter, at the end of the game. Yeah. So Scott
that's how it works.
Scott throws for 410 yards. How many touchdowns?
Five touchdowns. They took one back.
Okay, so we call that four in the business.
Well, no, because the refs screwed up. Right?
All the refs messed it
up.
I got it. So
and when you get older, like I am. Yeah. You count those.
You count.
I don't care. It's like the ref.
So you have more like 200 career touchdowns instead of the 100.
At least.
I got you.
At least.
I got you.
I mean, tons. Tons of them.
How many picks did you throw that day? Was it like a four touchdown, three?
I actually
pick
had
day?
An interception.
You did have one pick. That's a pretty good ratio, though. So you guys win with over 550 yards of total offense. You guys win that game 44-38. Was that a game that, to me, it always seemed weird because these NFL teams, a game on a Thursday seems like it would disrupt everything that you do.
It was the best time of year to be playing. Like it's such a great tradition to start with, and we relished it. I mean, we really did because we were always going to be at home, and there were two games, Cowboys and the Lions, so everybody was watching you, and of course, they weren't at the same time, so the whole nation was watching. I mean, everyone, even people that don't really watch football sit down and watch it, on Thanksgiving because it's just one of those things. It was a massive advantage for us. Because we were home, it was a short week, and it's hard to prepare for. Your body is certainly not completely repaired and ready to kind of take the pounding that you would take. But so was the other team. So it was kind of balanced out. And we always played very well on Thanksgiving. And then you had like this 10-day break. And it was just like this coming up for air kind of feeling in the end of the season that just kind of propelled you through. And it was, at least in my time in Detroit, it was one of those things.
So you liked it.
Really,
it wasn't in the way.
Loved it. Loved playing on Thanksgiving. It was just such a tremendous. And we only lost one game. And that's the time that I went into the bathroom and had a discussion with four gentlemen.
Oh.
And we were going to get in a fight. So all these great memories.
During the game? Like
no, it was, after the game. No, there were times I wanted to go during the game, but, you know.
Well, you know, the whole Baker Mayfield thing keeps coming up to me this week when he said, yeah, I don't like, you know, the fans are booing him. And he goes, yeah, those are bad fans. The fans booing me are the ones, this is what he said yesterday about it. The fans booing me are probably the ones who are also not being quiet when we're on offense. And I thought, oh, man, this is not – you're not ingratiating yourself to the fan base here. When you start kind of fighting with your fan base, which is something that I think you got into a little bit too during your time in Detroit.
No, I've tried to answer the question very thoughtful and thorough.
Because they asked my you about answer, the booing
question. Yes, and my answer was, look, I understand the fans are like – they're passionate. Like they – you know, I get it.
You're giving the PR answer.
Yeah.
Everything's going great.
You know, there's probably – right. But there's probably times that, like, my family was probably leading the charge. Like, Scott, you're stinking it up here.
Oh, see, yeah.
You know, so I don't mind if they boo when you do poorly. Here's when it just is hard. When they boo you when you get introduced. Like, you haven't even done anything yet. I just ran out of the tunnel. My uniform is clean.
Okay.
I'm not even sweating yet, and you're already booing.
Yeah.
Like, calm down.
And you're
people.
The home crowd. And that's, a
and
home
that's
crowd.
At home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you'd get more reception at away crowd. So what happens, and the media is very good at this because we're now part of the media, is they want their soundbite, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm like, the fans are passionate. And I go, really, probably the people that are booing are probably people that are drunk, right? and so I go, what do I care what a bunch of drunk fans think?
There you go.
So what do they play? Out of all of that, they go, hey, Scott, how do you feel about the fans booing you? And I'm like,
what do I care
about a bunch of drunk fans booing me? Right? And so I'm like, so you can never win in
that
situation.
Is that the beginning of the end?
You can, like, it's just stupid. It's all stupid.
Now there,
but it's hard. I don't care. Yeah. You're human, right? We all want to be loved. We all want to be loved. We don't want to be like booed. Who wants that?
Why is it that?
And you try to act like, man, this doesn't bother me. And it's like, it bothered the heck out of me.
But why are the Detroit Lions? The Detroit Lions are the ones that every Thanksgiving play at home. Every Thanksgiving they're on TV. The Cowboys play. I don't know if it's every Thanksgiving.
You know how? Yeah, they do. Cowboys play every.
But so you guys and the Lions played every year.
But then,
now they've
added a third game,
which is what? The night game.
It's the night game, and that's a rotational game.
Yeah. So,
but let me get back to the booing, okay? And the Detroit Lions fans. Let me just tell you about the whole thing.
Hear, yeah.
There are some people in the world that just want to be miserable. They always want to complain. They always want to be the woe is me. We never win. But they just have that mindset. And I'm telling you,
it's the guy who's on the freeway who's looking for someone to flip off.
Completely.
They have no chill mode, right? It's
no.
Just like we can't. And it's not an exciting thing. It's not a positive vibe. It's the negative vibe, people.
It just sucks the life out of everything.
Yeah.
And it's not based in reality either. Like, it's all on emotion. It's just like, I don't care. The world is a miserable place, and and that's Detroit Lions fans.
So you're 3-1 as a quarterback for the Lions
on Thanksgiving. Yes.
And the one
loss was when I chased.
That's when you got grumpy
at
those fans. So there was this weird list. I say weird because it's actually a bad list.
And it's a dumb list.
It's a terrible list.
And I read the list.
I'll tell you why. I'll roll it out for you. And it basically says. Ranking the Thanksgiving quarterbacks for the Detroit Lions. And I was like, oh, perfect, because Scott had some amazing years.
Like you would say you did on Thanksgiving, right?
That's, I knew that Matthew Stafford was going to be number one because he's just played so long at Detroit.
Yeah.
He played there for so long. And he has the most passing yards of all time.
I had all these records till that stupid Stafford came along.
Oh, by the way, that stupid Stafford. By the way, most sacks all time on a Thanksgiving day in a career? BYU's former Ziggy Ansah.
Oh.
Surprising. 9 sacks in his career. I feel like that's probably some of the few days he's been healthy and performed well on Thanksgiving. He has the record for most sacks in a career on Thanksgiving Day. Dave Craig is number 2. I have a I know. It said, look, subbing in for Scott Mitchell. Craig went 20 for 25.
He played half of one year. And had a pretty good half of
one
year.
Yeah, you guys won that game.
Yeah.
But it's wild. Dante Culpepper is listed number 3. Now, he played I don't know, but he was a 3-time Pro Bowler. He made 5 starts during the Lions' winless 2008 season. He was 0-10 as a starter in those 2 seasons, and he's number 3 on the list.
Yeah,
I don't understand what's going on here. Number four on the list.
It's a dumb list.
I don't think when they say ranking the quarterbacks, the Thanksgiving quarterbacks, I think what they're doing is saying, here are the guys who played on Thanksgiving for the Lions. Let's rate their whole career. And even then, that's wild. So,
yeah.
Stafford, blah, 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 go through. Kitna's listed at number 5, okay? Kitna's listed at number 5. And again.
And everyone out there listening right now goes, who's Kitna?
Hey, he's exactly. John Kitna. Central Washington University product. Joe Ferguson, number 6. That's one that I was like, never heard of him.
Yeah.
Number 7 was Scott Mitchell.
Oh, hey, what do you know?
Who threw for 4,338 yards and 32 touchdowns in 1995, including that 410-yard performance. I mean, it was insane that they had the – now, you're ahead of Gus Frerotte. You're ahead of Rodney Peete.
Oh, hey.
You're ahead of Eric Hipple and Bill Munson and Charlie Batch and Joe – hey, you're even ahead of Joe Harrington. So there you go.
What do you know?
You made the top 10 out of their 30 people or list.
Can I get back to the fans booing?
Yeah, I want to hear more about this.
So, but here's the thing about Detroit Lions fans.
Mm-hmm.
They would still show up. Like, even today, I've gone back to
I'm telling
to
you, when you show up and, with a, and, bat, with a paper they, bag on your head.
And they all just show up.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, it's a weird attitude to have of I'm showing up to the game with a paper bag so that I can show my displeasure with the team that I root for. It's the weirdest thing because you show up ready to be negative about the team that you're cheering for. Because that's part of that. There's no lovable part of the loser part of teams who go 0-16, and it's just a wild attitude to have. So I get it.
Let me tell you what was really cool about doing it, though.
Yeah,
there was just something about a tradition, and to be a part of a tradition, it didn't matter if the fans booed, whatever. The Lions always played on Thanksgiving, and it was great, and you love to be a part of that, and it was. And it wasn't just an NFL thing. It was almost like a thing in the country, you know, where people play their turkey bowl, they have their turkey, they watch football. It's just kind of it's just a thing that most Americans do. And to be a part of something that's like Americana is a really cool thing. And it wasn't lost on me in the moment. Like it was like, and I really appreciated in my life and in my time of saying, hey, I was a part of this. I was really a part of it, and you were aware of it. When you were playing, you were really aware of it. But let me tell you the best part. You want to know what the best part? And not that isn't the best part, because that's a pretty
it's
cool
It's the
part.
Turkey leg that
it's
John Madden
the turkey
leg. Yeah.
It is just – because you look at it and you go, that's disgusting.
So you won the turkey leg one year.
Yes.
And it was that 5-touchdown or 4.5-touchdown performance against Warren Moon's Vikings team. It was one of those years where they had the 5 legs, you know, the 5 or 6 yeah. legs coming off of that thing. Because they gave one, I think, to you, to Herman Moore,
to
Brett Perriman. Yeah. Yeah. Barry Sanders got one. Yeah. But you say that the turkey leg that John Madden used to hand out, I used to look at it and go, there's no way you want to touch that thing.
I got more than one turkey leg.
Every food service person watching that thing is going, that thing is chock full of salmonella. But you said it was good.
No. Because you think it's a prop. You think
it looks like a prop. Yes.
It totally – and it really – and it's legitimate. It's a legitimate – John Madden, they prepared it. It was a legitimate –
John Madden
thing.
Made it? You think he brined well, himself
I don't,
in his RV?
I wouldn't be surprised.
It sat in the blue tank
you know,
the,
he's kind
on
of
the
a,
RV that he
he's
takes
He's a little
around.
Bit of a foodie kind of person.
He is. And, but by that, do you mean he's a guy who eats a lot of food?
Well,
that's
of
not
course.
The same.
Yeah, well, that's my version of John Madden.
He drove
Look,
around
he's,
everywhere.
He's a football coach. I mean, yes. how foodie can he get?
He drove around everywhere. So there's part of that of kind of being on the road and
right.
knowing where to eat.
That's a different dude. Right
I just,
there.
You know, when you watch when I watch these games, Thanksgiving and watching those NFL games, watching the Lions over the years, watching the Cowboys, I will tell you, here's one of my – but so I remember very clearly that game. I also remember very clearly – the Leon Lett,
oh yeah,
kick against the kicking the blocked field goal and giving the Dolphins an extra shot to win that game, and because I was living in Texas at the moment, and my dad, because we had no family around.
Right.
Right. So we're my mom. My
so
mom's
you'd
family
be 12
was gone
at this time.
So I was 12 at that time. Yeah. So I go. We are at. Are you ready for this? This is where we at. Where we were at for Thanksgiving. We were in San Antonio because my dad was like, "We're getting out of town. We don't have family around. We're going to get out of town." We'd go to Galveston. We'd go down Corpus Christi, something like that. This year we were in San Antonio, Texas, and I was at my my dad and mom were like, "We got to just pull over and get Thanksgiving meal somewhere." We went to an Outback Steakhouse, okay?
For Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving, where the Cowboy game was on, because that was kind of part of the thing. You got to have the Cowboy game on. So we're watching the Cowboy game, and I see Leon Lett. First of all, there's snow on the ground. And, well, it's not snow. In Texas, they call it sleet.
Yes.
Right? It's that, like, small bits of, like, frozen rain, basically.
It was cold. I will just tell you, it was very cold.
And that roof at Texas Stadium is funny because it's
open. Because
there's
a little hole.
There's a little hole, but the entire field was covered.
But that hole was, yeah,
it was
pretty
covered
dramatic,
the whole
yes.
thing. Football on Thanksgiving, I've known, like, playing in your own local turkey bowl is amazing. Watching football all day is amazing. Thanksgiving is something unlike any of the other holidays. Christmas has its own thing, but Thanksgiving is good because there's nothing you really have to do. You have to eat a ton of food, and the TV's got to be on for you to watch football. That's kind of it. At Christmas, it's like you got to go through the motions with your in-laws or with your outlaws or with whomever, and it's Thanksgiving, in my opinion, the eating food part, the watching the game part, and not having to feel as much pressure of giving people gifts so you don't really like that much, exceeds Christmas in many ways.
So that game, Miami and Dallas.
Yes. You were hurt for that one.
Yeah, I didn't play in that game. We were 9-2. We won that game 9-2, best record in the NFL. We end up the season 9-7.
No.
Did
you make the playoffs?
We have 5 games left. We only have to win one just to make
the playoffs. No.
3 of the 5 are at home.
How'd it go?
We lost all 5.
You pulled the Lions move.
Yeah.
That is wild.
And you would have thought, I mean, that was such a fun team.
That must
be
one of the biggest
meltdowns. When you saw Keith Byers where he's doing the Snow Angels after he scored the touchdown, that was just a great group of guys. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Those guys were just amazing. And it was just it just shows you how precarious I guess those moments are.
Who played in that game then for the Dolphins? Was it Doug Peterson?
No, it was Doug Peterson was the holder. So Doug ended up being the head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles.
So they had to go third string that game.
No, Doug was third string.
Oh my heavens.
And he just wasn't very good.
Oh boy.
So he was the practice squad quarterback.
Sure.
So they elevated him to holder and Steve DeBerg.
Oh, DeBerg. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the great orange man.
Yeah, Steve DeBerg.
The permatan.
Yeah.
Steve DeBerg. All right, we're going to take a break here. We've got more to go on the program. I just love being regaled by some of these insane stories. Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280, The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, 1280, The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It is 97.5, 1280, The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. That music in the background, the band of the day, Black Label Society. They're going to bring their Doom Trooping Over North America tour to the Complex on Friday, November 26th with special guest Obituary and Prong. You've also got ex-Ozzy Osbourne guitarist Zach Wilde, who's going to bring his brand of rock and roll to Salt Lake City. Tickets available at AXS.com and thecomplex.com. All brought to you by Live Nation. You can go get more artist information there as well at LiveNation.com. Joining us right now on Unrivaled, he is the play-by-play voice of the USC Trojans. Pete Arbogast joining us on the program. Pete, thanks for being with us.
Anytime, guys.
We were just going over. Scott was regaling us with some of his old days as a Lions quarterback on Thanksgiving, and being supplanted by some of those Lions greats over the years. Is Thanksgiving and the NFL and watching football games on Thanksgiving, it must be up there with some of the great holiday traditions we have as Americans.
And Lions greats is an oxymoron, isn't it, I think?
What about Barry Sanders? What about
Well, I know. I'm just – hey, Judy, Richie Bush was there for a while. I know.
It is what it is.
Absolutely.
Trying to give you trouble.
No, you know what?
Well, we love trouble. I think just don't boo us in the introduction. That's all. I don't care.
Scott has
I USC just perplexes the heck out of me, right?
You and me both, brother.
And because it's like it's the top of the food chain. Like everybody wants to go to USC, but it doesn't feel like everyone wants to go to USC anymore. It feels like people are going all these other places. We're here in Utah. And it just annoys the heck out of me. Like Jackson Dart here, I mean, he lives in the same hometown that I live in, and he goes to USC, and we get players that end up in Oregon, and they're Utah products. It's like, stay home, stay here, go to Utah, go to BYU. And what's happening with recruiting, and it just feels like players aren't going to USC anymore.
Yeah, they're all going to the SEC. The Pac-12 kind of stinks right now, really,
yeah.
Honestly. But it's cyclical, you know. I mean, I've been around doing this job for 33 years, and I've been following the team since I was like six. And that's a while ago. And you know, you see it come and go. I've seen great teams. I've seen terrible teams. I've seen great times when the conference is this top to bottom as tough as they come, and times like this where it's just not. And it's all about where it's being coached well, playing well. And I don't know about staying home, but sure, if you can recruit your area 100%, then nobody gets in and takes the kids away that are reasonably good. There are all kinds of reasons, yeah. And it is what it is right now. But it's going to change again. You know, 10 years from now, we'll have a different discussion.
Well, and how long does a turnaround like that take? And I know this year, you know, we're looking at a team that's been limping through with their interim staff after Clay Helton was let go, but... So what has the vibe been around the team? Has it just been like, just get through this write this one off as a total loss? Or they have to keep some semblance of positivity with all these guys there, so you don't have half the team going into the transfer portal.
Well, they're not playing very well as a group. And whether or not that's because they're not very good or they've given up, I don't know. Because I'm only at practice, you know, once a week. But the loss of the coach, the change of the coaching staff early in the season, that was difficult. The fact that they don't have any semblance of great, great talent on the defensive line, so they're getting beat up on the that side of the ball. And then, you know, you play some pretty good teams, and things just have gone wrong at the wrong time in some of these games. They've been in all of these games. They were even in the UCLA game that they lost 62-33. 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, scored a touchdown, down by 12, went for two, didn't get it. They were down by 11, went for two, didn't get it. Down by 11, and then give up a 100-yard kickoff return, game over. And so you're in it. You're in it for a long time, but they're just not able to finish at all. And that happened against Eric. Against Notre Dame, against Utah, against Oregon State, against Stanford. They were in those games late third quarter-ish. The ref made a bad call or they dropped the ball the wrong time, and they don't have the fortitude. Where it is, the house of cards kind of folds up, and that's it. And we have every week we go into the pregame show as a broadcast team, and we say, well, if they could just not do that, that'd be great. Then we'd have a full 60-minute game. And every week it keeps happening. So you can't go in and expect something different to happen. It's insanity, isn't it? Isn't that the definition of insanity?
That's what they say.
Well, that's how I live my life. It's just kind of doing the same thing.
Well,
over
I hear
again.
You. So, I know.
And I'm comfortable with it. I really like I life.
You're not on the hot seat down in L.A. Yeah,
no,
I get it. Yeah.
I'm always on the hot seat. So Jackson Dart, freshman, comes in. He's a Utah product. What's been the vibe about him? What are your thoughts on how he's done so far this season?
Well, good, not great. He's an 18-year-old, you know. I mean, that's like starting a ninth grader in varsity football in high school.
Yeah,
it's just
you're
going to take some hits, no matter how good you are, and no matter what program you're playing for. And so he's been good, 60%, 7 TDs, 4 ugly interceptions into double coverage. And, you know, he knows it. He hasn't been running as much as I thought he would. He got that ding on his knee at the Washington State game that he led the comeback of, and my mom would yell at me for dangling a participle there, but whatever. And he's looked good. And here's the main thing. The fans seem to react better when he's in, and the players seem to play with more enthusiasm when he's in. So that's not a bad thing. But he's got to stop making the freshman mistakes, and I don't expect that to happen until next year.
Play-by-play voice of the USC Trojans, Pete Arbogast, joining us here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Before we get to the BYU kind of breakdown of what it looks like with the Cougars coming into town, what does USC have to get in a coach? Like, when you look at, like, there's a top job as a college football coach, and then there's USC, which is even further up that line, which means the expectations are astronomical too. But what is it that USC's looking for? What's Mike Bum looking for when he sees this? Because obviously Luke Fickell says he's staying at Cincinnati and all those things, but what is the thing that USC needs then right now in a coach?
Well, let's preface it with saying that because, as we, I think, agree that the Pac-12 is down a little bit right now, any team that really gets a great recruiting class or two or three in a row and can coach them up at the same time is going to be in the national picture, because you're going to win the league running away, and then you'll be right back, and especially if it's an SC, because, you know, the media market that we're in. They've got to go out and get big, fat, mean, ugly guys to play the defensive line and the offensive line. That's number one, and that is not the case right now. Now, the offensive line has come from being very ordinary to being pretty decent here towards the end of the season. They've been able to run the football a little bit more, and when they can run the football, they can pass the football a little bit more. So the offense hasn't been a terrible tragedy. It's on the defensive side, and they've got to go out and get those guys. So I'm thinking defensive guy. The last time we had defensive guy, it was Pete Carroll. Now, he was the sixth choice or something like that in 2001.
That's hilarious.
But turned out okay. And then they've gone through, as soon as he left, they've gone through, you know, bang, 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 bang. It's been a revolving door. You can't do that. You have to have a guy and his staff, and they all stay there for a long time so that you become a school known for at least having guys hang around, and you're going to be coached by those guys. So they've got to find a guy that's not 70 years old, probably a guy that's 50 or so, less maybe, and I think a defensive-minded guy, and then he brings in the best offensive-minded offensive coordinator that you could possibly find.
Is USC a tough job to be attracted to? I mean, you get Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, and it almost seems like he's maybe the odds-on favorite, but I don't know if there's a sense that he wants to leave Cincinnati, and it's like, I think I'd leave Cincinnati for USC. But
he's from there. Yeah, you got to remember, he's from there, and has coached at Ohio State, and has seen coaches from Cincinnati become the coach at Notre Dame. So he doesn't have to wait around for very long at Cincinnati. They're going to join the Big 12 in a couple. So he's got that to look forward to. And if he sticks around for 3, 4, 5 more years, then he's the coach at Ohio State or he's the coach at Notre Dame. And that's kind of what he wants, because that's where he's from, which is fine. I dig that. How is it here? Well, weather's great all the time. The traffic is terrible
all the time. Yeah.
So it's kind of an all the time thing there, no matter what.
Whatever
it is,
you do, it's going to be all the time.
All the time.
Live in Manhattan Beach or Palos Verdes, which is right on the coast. There's worse places to be. And you're going to make a lot of money, not only as coach, but ancillary money in the media. You have all kinds of opportunity here. You could do television, commercials, radio shows. You've got all that stuff in which it pays probably more money than it does if you're in Provo, for instance. No offense.
Yes.
Look, my first job in the business was in Twin Falls, Idaho. I am paid more now than I was paid then.
Yeah, it's a shocker.
And I'm paid more now than I was paid when I was in Cincinnati for a while. So there's goods and bad. But look, you're the coach of USC. That's a long, great history. It's a great program, historically speaking, down right now. But now you've got a chance to come in and be a savior, too.
Yeah.
Boy, if you bring this program back from the dead and win a Rose Bowl or two and a national championship and be in the picture – well, hell, they're liable to build a statue for you.
BYU comes into town, gets to the Coliseum this weekend. It's a weird game in the sense that and USC plays those weird games periodically, playing USC or Notre Dame, you know, later in the season sometimes, and that happens. But this is a team that is looking really, really tough right now. Kalani Sitake is one of those names that people throw around for the possibility of at least listening down there to a job in L.A., which I don't think would be the case. But what do you get from this BYU team, having probably cram a little bit over the last week of watching Jaren Hall and that offense and what BYU does?
They remind me very much of what we just saw in UCLA. Big, giant, strong running back. Algier looks like, you know, I mean, if he does what he's been doing, he's going to run for 220 yards against SC, the way they play defense against the run. Hall likes to throw and run. Nobody likes that if you're on the defensive side. The receivers are all pretty good. The line is huge and averages, you know, 300 pounds a guy. The defense is fine. The loss of Wilgar didn't help any. The loss of Peely didn't help any. But they're strong enough. And here's the show. All they got to do is outscore SC. So it'll probably, like I said, it'll probably be okay for a while, and then something will go wrong. It'll be 26-25. Something will go wrong, and then BYU will score, and then SC will go three and out. BYU will score, and the game will be over. And that's the way it's been. So look for that. Now I know you. I see BYU's numbers. You know, 107-33 outscoring their opponents in the first quarter. That has not been the case for USC's defense. They've been pretty strong coming out of the gate. The first half hasn't been too bad. And then they just kind of wilt at the end of the ball game. I like BYU. I think they're good. I don't think they're great. They should be ranked ahead of Oregon. And Utah is ranked behind Oregon. I don't know how you figure that out, since they just beat them last week by a lot.
Come on, these are smarter people. These are all smarter people than us. Come on.
BYU should probably be ranked 11th in the country right now. But you look at, you know, you only won at Washington State by two. Lost to Baylor, lost to Boise. Boise, not in West Conference. Team. They're not great.
Yeah,
you've done well. You beat Arizona, Utah, and I can name a team that didn't. So it will take SC's supreme effort, something we have not seen this year, to win this football game.
Do you get a sense from USC that they want to try to get bowl eligible? I mean, they win their last two, they become bowl eligible.
I don't know if they want to. I do. I'm paid by the game.
So, I understand that. Believe me, I do.
Scott does the same thing.
Let's go Trojans. I don't know. I don't know how they feel about it internally as a team, whether they just want to fold up the shop and get out of Dodge and be done with it. This is senior night. There's something to be said for that. And if you can sneak one through, if you could accidentally beat BYU, and if Cal were to beat UCLA, and UCLA's got to be hung over after knocking off SC like they did, then SC and Cal would meet the following week for a bowl berth, which would be kind of fun.
Wild.
So
yeah.
There's stuff to play for. I just don't know if they have the emotional tenacity to care at this point. I don't know.
Well, we're going to be following this one, of course, closely. Pete Arbogast is going to have the call on the Trojans Radio Network, and he joins us right now on Unrivaled. Pete, good luck on the call this weekend. We're looking forward to it, man.
Thanks. I look forward to speaking to all of the BYU Cougar fans who tune in to our broadcast in the Coliseum. Bring your radios and enjoy our broadcast. And I say that fully knowing that we're USC homers, but I like it when – our fans go on the road and listen to the road announcers. I think it's an important thing to do to hear different voices around the country, and I think it's kind of cool to be able to do that.
It is fun. It's a fun thing to be able to do. So we're going to be tuning in. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Happy Thanksgiving. We're going to take a break here. More to go right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone as we continue. We've got much more to jump into in the next – Scott said something before we started, and that was – I can get BYU into the top 10. Almost like he's making a deal as an East Coast gangsta. He's like, you want me to put BYU in the top 10? Hey, I'll put them in the top 10. Scott's got a scenario how they get there. The question is, would it be enough to put them into that college football New Year's Six scenario? We'll see. We're going to come back, talk much more. Next hour, we've got Mark Johnson, who's the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. So we got a lot going on still. Pretty go right here. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, here we are. Welcome back. 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for being with us. Hey, guess what? A couple things going on. First, I've got a market update here for you. S&P 500, flat, up just a half a percent. NASDAQ up a half a percent today. And Dow Jones down just 9 points, so relatively flat today. There's your market update brought to you by TryDayTrading.com. Now, anybody can be a day trader. Visit TryDayTrading.com. Scott, you told me that you're going to be able to create a scenario where BYU gets into the college football playoff, or not the playoff, the college football, the New Year's Six realm, where they need to be kind of in that 10, maybe even 9 type of number. Oh, he's got his paper out.
Let me get my papers. Oh, boy. I'll, you know, kind of organize.
This is great.
Here.
Look at this. Handwritten.
Yeah. Well, I can't.
Can you sign? You don't know how to. What?
Can you read my writing?
I mean, a little bit, but
I can't read it. I have the worst writing.
This is very Gordy Chiesa like. All right, where you have, so, everything's capitalized. By the way,
BYU is 13
Thank
right
you.
Now. And where do you think they would need to end up?
9 or 10 Okay. Just to be safe, let's say 9. Let's put them at
okay.
9.
Okay, I can put them at 9.
Okay.
All right. So right now, you have Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Cincinnati, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Michigan State ahead of them.
But ahead
you remember all that stuff?
Yes. I thought that list that you rattled off was a bit long, but I
sorry.
Followed.
Yes. I know it was very long.
I got you. I mean, the teams that are in front of them, you those single-digit teams need to get to
– Georgia and Alabama play each other.
Yes, they do.
All right. Alabama's going to lose, but Alabama's still going to stay probably maybe 6 or 8, right? So there, that's gonna, that doesn't mean anything. But here's where it starts to mean something. Ohio State is gonna beat Michigan. Michigan is 5. Michigan's gonna drop down
to what? They'll go to that 9.
They'll
though.
Probably go to 9.
Yeah,
9-ish.
See again, okay? BYU's not getting in with that though.
Hey,
all right,
calm
all right,
down.
Sorry.
Now, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's gonna win. So my college football playoffs is gonna be Georgia, Ohio State, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame?
Yeah, because they can't put Notre Dame ahead of Cincinnati because Cincinnati's beat them.
I hate those guys, though.
I'm just telling you, that's what's going to happen.
I hate those guys.
Everybody loves Notre Dame.
Could you
Dame.
Imagine Cincinnati being the number 3 team in the college football playoff?
Right, and Cincinnati's going to play Georgia in the national championship because Notre Dame's going to be 4, and they're going to get okay. they're going to get wiped off the map by Georgia.
Got it.
And Cincinnati's going to beat Georgia in the national championship.
I'm buying in.
I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. In fact, we need to write that down. It's
it's already written.
November 24th, this is what I said.
Scott, it's written on the fleshy table.
You know how we
heart.
Operate. We're bold and stupid on this show. That's yeah. my bold and stupid prediction of the day, right?
I can't believe we didn't go with that name for the show instead of Unrivaled.
I know. Bold and stupid with yeah. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. You decide who's bold and who's
well,
stupid.
Well, that could just be our – this is just our little, you know
– you have a little sub –
the little ticker.
Sub-motto.
Yeah, a little yeah, – our sub-motto.
Okay.
Okay, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma play each other. And they're 7-10.
Yeah.
All right. Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma State's going to win that.
Okay.
So Oklahoma's going to go. They're going to drop past BYU.
They'll go way past.
Yes. Then you have Baylor. Baylor's going to win. They have one game left. Texas Tech.
Yeah. But then they have the Big 12 championship game.
No,
too.
because Oklahoma is going to play Oklahoma State.
In the Big 12 championship?
Again? Yes. Yes.
I thought they were in the okay,
yeah.
I get you.
There's no divisions.
All right.
It's just
the
top two records in the Big 10.
Okay, got it.
Or the Big 12. Then you have Ole Miss and they're going to win. But then you have Oregon and Michigan State.
Yes.
Oregon's out. Oregon's going to lose. Oregon might lose this week to Oregon,
Oregon State.
State.
Yes.
But I believe they'll lose to Utah. Here's the crazy thing, okay? Just got a chill. The hair just stood up on my back.
you've been
Oregon,
touched by a ghost.
Oregon is going to play Utah in the Pac-12 championship, and Oregon's going to lose. And by losing to Utah, it will propel BYU into a New Year's Day game.
And BYU fans and Utah fans shake hands for the first time in history.
And they hug and kiss at the 50-yard line.
So where BYU's number 11 or okay, number 10, and Utah's gonna be number 11 at that point.
So now Michigan State is gonna lose at Penn State.
Oh, that's good. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, so what will happen, Georgia's one, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, top four.
Got it.
Oklahoma State, Alabama, Baylor, Ole Miss, and BYU ends up at number
nine.
So
you're assuming listen,
at number nine. That's how it would roll.
Did you get the vibe like Pete who the play-by-play voice of the Utah
Arbogast?
Arbogast. Did you get the vibe that he was kind of, I don't know, this BYU team's just going to win the game pretty easily, no problem. I was like,
they've all given up at USC.
Everybody's
given up at USC.
Joining us right now, we are at General RV. It's the Tour de Fans. Our Tour de Fans is wrapping up here just in the next couple of hours. We're only going to be here all the way up till 5 o'clock. We've only got 1 hour before Utah Jazz pregame starts up on The Zone and the Utah Jazz Radio Network. I've got Bam here with me. Bam is the RV man you want to discuss a deal with because he makes the most deals of
Bam's
anybody.
Not your real name, though, right?
No.
It's your RV name, right?
That's my RV name. There's three Bretts that work here, so I go by my initials, Bam.
Okay, so there you go. So the three Bretts, he's the most important one because he changed his name. So there you go.
Well, he's a big deal because it's just Bam.
You know, now, I've got
only has
best,
a name.
It's best not, Bam salesman you ever met.
That's right. There's best, a handful of people traveling right now. Now, a lot of people snuck out of the office early today. And so you've got this awesome opportunity to be out on the road. Maybe your wife asked you to pick up some stuff early. Maybe you drop by General RV right now and enter to win some tickets to a Jazz Spurs game in December where you will be on row number three. Imagine winning those row number three tickets. It's all part of our Tour de Fans. And we're here because at General RV, we've had a relationship with you guys for years. It's an awesome place. And you guys are selling more RVs than ever. Why on earth is this what's happening right now during the pandemic?
During the pandemic, nobody wants to get in a stuffy plane and share all that recirculated air. Everybody wants to get out in their RV, in their motorhome, in their trailer, their toy hauler, bring the four-wheelers, and share the air with their family, not with a bunch of random strangers on the plane.
Boy, he just painted a picture of airplane travel. Scott and I have to both get on an airplane.
Well, strangers, you have strangers on a plane and snakes on
snakes
a plane.
Snakes on a plane,
yeah, those two
on
things.
Plane.
Better to have strangers.
That's how you avoid it. You get the
you
RV
don't want that
you got hooked up. Yeah. So this is the time to do it. They've got more inventory, the best inventory they've had in the last 2 years. You've got this winter closeout where you're going to get the best deals, where they can open up their lot and get even more stuff in for next year. Come in and get those ordered. Come and figure them out. Come meet Bam and see why he's the best salesman in the entire nation for General RV. So we'll take a break here. We'll come back. Brett, are you going to hang out with us next hour too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or are you trying to sneak out early too?
Well, whatever you
How
need.
How dare
I'm,
you?
I'm here
How
for
dare you.
You?
All right.
I'm here. If I got somebody coming
like
in, I'm here to make a sale.
That's
okay?
Right. Point of the Mountain is where the General RV is found, right between the Bangor Highway and 146 South exit. You can find us right here on Minuteman Drive. We'll come back. More to go. Come sign up for those tickets. Come high-five Scott and tell him great job on Thanksgiving all those years ago. And stay with us. More to go on Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled right here on a Thanksgiving Eve. Thanks for being with us. We're at General RV at Point of the Mountain. You can come down, throw your name in the box to enter to win third row Jazz tickets for December 17th versus the San Antonio Spurs. Third row is nothing to mess with. You get to wear the placard. You get to tell people you were on the third row. Probably catch a little bit of sweat off of Mike Conley if you're lucky. No problem.
Oh, you can smell the sweat. You smell what the players smell like, actually.
Listen,
that's how close you are.
That's a sensory experience it's a once in a lifetime. So come down, enter to win by just dumping your name in the old box here at the General RV at Point of the Mountain. Part of the Tour de Fans. Yeah, you could. It might be. This is a lifetime opportunity for you. All right, joining us right now at the top of the hour is Mark Johnson. He's the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, thanks for being with us, man.
You bet, guys. Happy to be on with you.
So as we just got off the horn with Pete Arbogast with USC as BYU's going down to L.A. and Utah takes on Colorado this week. And so we've got all of our bases covered with the play-by-play guys. What's your favorite venue to go to across the country?
Oh, across the country. That's a good question. I was going to say the Pac-12. You know, I mean, obviously it's cool going to the Rose Bowl, but across the country. You know, I've been in the Big Ten, I've been in Big 12 and the Big East at different times in my career. You know, I've been to a number of SEC schools and some national games there. I think probably, you know, what's a great spot is Blacksburg, Virginia.
Yeah, because Virginia Tech. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that was one when I was in the Big East, obviously, back in my Syracuse days. That was always kind of a fun spot to go to. And, you know, I mean, there's the ones we always think about, going to the Big House or, you know, going to Alabama or something like that. But, you know, Blacksburg was always kind of cool when I had a chance to do some games there.
Interesting. Yeah, you wouldn't hear
really,
that right
Yeah, really back. Interesting. Yeah. So this is rivalry week around the Pac-12. Traditionally, Utah-Colorado is the, I guess, the
– quote-unquote rival, I guess.
Right, yeah, it's kind of the arranged marriage rivalry.
Someone
had a shotgun for this one. Is there such a thing – I mean, is there such a thing as a Utah-Colorado rivalry?
Well, you know, if you talk to real longtime fans back in 1940, there probably was. But, you know, since it's become the incarnation of the Pac-12, rather, no. I mean, there's no rivalry there. I was talking with a coaching friend of mine about that, this very thing, in fact, just earlier today. You can't force that. It has to happen, you know, organically. Something has to happen. There's going to be some bad blood, or both teams have to be very, very good on a consistent basis, which Colorado has not done here, obviously, in recent years. If you have that kind of thing going on, I think a rivalry can blossom, but you can't force it. Like you said, it's an arranged marriage, and it's just because Colorado played Nebraska and they wore red, you know, for many, many years the day after Thanksgiving doesn't automatically make, you know, Utes wearing red uniforms a rival for Colorado. But, you know, they tried to force that, and it is what it is. And at some point, maybe something, you know, both teams will be very good or something crazy will happen in the ball game. It'll be some controversy. That'll light a spark, and maybe then it can happen. But right now, it's just, I think for both schools, it's probably just the last game in the schedule.
Carl Durrell is, you know, was thrown in after Mel Tucker's, you know, quick stint there in Boulder. Carl Durrell comes in. He's got a long list of, you know, we talked about Pac-12 Media Days, and he's a guy who, you know, you don't look at him and go, no, he doesn't know what he's doing. This is a guy who's been coaching for a long, long time.
Yeah.
What type of team did he inherit, and what has to happen at Colorado for that turnaround to happen fully?
Well, I think what has to happen is one thing that you folks in Salt Lake City have had. You get a quality coach who's been here for a long, long time as a chance to build a program. Listen, this is my 18th season calling the Buffaloes. And, you know, you've had, you know, Gary Barnett, who's now my broadcast partner, talk about coming full circle. You got Gary Barnett and then Dan Hawkins and then John Embry and then Mike McIntyre and then Mel Tucker. And you can't do that. It's just been too much turnover over the course of the last, you know, since Gary was let go back in 2005. It's just been too much. And no, should all of those guys have been given longer periods of time? Not necessarily. But when you find a guy, and I think the early returns on Carl look pretty solid, he seems to be building a foundation. I think the administration's very happy with him. You've got to let that cure and have a chance then to build something because, you know, Colorado is not where you're going to come and, you know, it's not going to be Alabama right off the bat. It's not going to be something like that. So you've got to build something. You've got to develop players, and there has to be a culture that then is consistent. And I think that's the thing. They're going to have to give Carl some time. Last year, you know, in that truncated season, you know, going 4-1 during the regular season, that was a very nice start. They've obviously very much struggled on offense this year and have not got the quarterback play they were hoping to get, and that's really hurt things. Because the defense, you know, has been relatively solid. Special teams have been very, very good. And, you know, so there have been some issues they've dealt with this year. But you can kind of see what he's trying to do, and I think you've got to give him some time to put that together.
Yeah, so there's really not much to play for in this game. Utah's already assured itself winning the Pac-12 South. Colorado's trying to create a culture and identity. What do you expect about out of this game on Friday between Utah and Colorado?
Well, you know, I think for, like you said, I hope the Utes are terribly disinterested. Let's put it that way from a Colorado perspective. I hope they're just saying, okay, let's get ready for the Pac-12 title game. For Colorado, what you want to see, just some continued progression. Let the guy, you know, the injury bug has hit Colorado terribly. They've lost a lot of guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, missing some guys, including Brendan Rice this weekend, who's an outstanding wide receiver. So the depth, which wasn't great to begin with, is even thinner than it has been. So, you know, it's about player development. It's about, you know, continuing the culture and all the things we talk about for Colorado. Can they get off out of this ball game and have some positive there, take them into the off season, and then try and build on it, you know, when recruiting day rolls around on December 15th. I mean, those are the kind of things I think you hope for. You know, can a young quarterback who is going to have great competition come next year with JT Shrout, the transfer, who many thought was going to start this season. Can Brendan Lewis get a little bit better so, you know, he has a positive step going into the off season, back in that quarterback competition? I mean, those are the kind of things I think you're looking for.
Mark Johnson, play-by-play voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us here on Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. What do you see out of Utah? Like, I think obviously we follow them really, really closely, but
sure.
you can't help but see over the last month and a half, and obviously the dismantling of Oregon last week kind of culminated everybody seeing Utah make a massive transformation this year. What have you seen out of Kyle Whittingham's team?
Well, what I love is just the consistency, right? I mean, Thomas has been outstanding carrying the football. I wonder to myself, why wasn't Cameron Rising starting from day one, right? I mean, when I've watched Utah this season, I see a pretty dynamic guy that's able to run the football a little bit, and I wonder what was going on there in camp when I wasn't following them, that put him on the bench to start the season. But he's been dynamic. The way they utilize the tight ends, they'll do a lot of 12 and 22, personnel out there, and you see that. So a physical football team. It is what we expect from Utah. And I've always said that about, I don't care what your organization is. I don't care if you're talking football or you're talking a bike shop or a burger joint, whatever it is. You got to have an identity, right? You have to know what you are, what you do. We know what Kyle Whittingham football is at Utah. They've been very physical over the years. They generally play very solid defense. They got a lot of youth on that side of the ball, but they're very physical. Play very solid on defense. We know exactly what they are. And so, when I popped the tape in here a couple of days ago and started getting my first look at them and started preparing for this game, I went, well, that looks like Utah football to me. I mean, they are what they are. And they average over 200 yards rushing, 200 yards passing, so they're very balanced on that side of the ball. It's just it's a fun football team to watch for me. If you love the game of football, I think you look at Utah and go, yep, that's what they are every year. You appreciate that. Maybe you got a little ebb and flow, but it's been pretty solid over the course of, Kyle's career there.
Yeah, the whole point about why wasn't Cam Rising starting at the beginning of the year? I mean, Charlie Brewer was a guy who'd had a lot of success, and I think,
and
watching him in the spring, he looked so sharp. But as soon as it got live, it just changed. He changed. He was very pedestrian. There was no anything. And the minute Cam Rising came in, it was just a spark instantly.
Yeah.
And this kid's just playing his first year, and he's not playing like a first-year player. I mean, it's just been really, really, really impressive. But the funny thing, Mark, is Utah is like it's off its axis. I mean, you talk about being the same team. Utah's winning with its offense, not its defense.
Yeah.
I mean, and so that's a little different thing there. And the defense is kind of catching up, but it's been an interesting year to watch. And the Pac-12 in general, it's just so wacky and there's going to be a lot of coaching changes. Do you guys look at that at Colorado and say, because when a new coach comes in, it's going to take time to grow and develop a program. Do you look at that and say, we're ahead of that? We already got our guy, and we're a few steps to. Do you see Colorado making a big jump in the conference in next year and even moving forward?
Well, that's what you hope for. You hope that Carl Durrell and the Buffaloes are able to take advantage of that. Having a 1.5 year head start on this because of what went down last year. You hope that's the case, and he's able to build on that. There is a lot of young talent on this team. This is not a very old football team. In fact, last week at Senior Day, they only had 5 seniors. Now there's a few juniors because of the COVID year that have graduating, and I'd imagine the vast majority of those guys are not going to be back. So it is a very young football team, and you hope to build on that then. So, can they add a solid class coming up here in 3-4 weeks when signing day happens, and then add to that and continue the progression of building the culture that he's trying to build. That's the hope anyway, right? I mean, that's the way they're laying out the plan right now. Now, we'll have to, time will tell whether they're able to do that or not, but you certainly should be able to, see some improvement. It's a very low bar, but it's interesting. As consistent as Utah has been since the creation of the Pac-12, Colorado's only won 3 or more games in league play 4 times. And one was Mike McIntyre in 2016 when they went 8-1 at a top-10 team. That was a magical season, obviously. Mel Tucker won 3. And Carl Durrell, even in a shortened season last year, had 3 wins in this year. So it's a pretty low bar.
Wow.
But when you look at the history of the Buffs football-wise in the Pac-12, he's matched or exceeded what his predecessors have done. So, and listen, when you've gone this long having kind of a dry spell, say for 2016, you're kind of grasping at straws a little bit, but trying to read the tea leaves, I think I see some positive coming, and I certainly hope so.
So 4 wins is a big year then.
Things are going okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, relatively speaking, sure. In reality, no, that's not a big win. But relatively speaking, considering what we've been looking at for a number of years, that would be fantastic. Would certainly take that.
He's Mark Johnson. He's the Colorado play-by-play voice of the Buffaloes. You can hear him this weekend as the Buffs come into town, take on the Utah Utes on a Friday afternoon game, the day after Thanksgiving. So safe travels, Mark. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll just look over in that booth a couple doors down. You'll be able to see Scott Mitchell doing the analysis for Utah.
Well, fantastic. I'll wave at you. You wave at me, and you guys have a good Thanksgiving.
All right. We appreciate it. Not taking a break yet, but if you've joined us on the show, and just as Mark Johnson just did, the play-by-play voice of the Buffaloes, he did it on the Smart Rain guest line. So Best of State winner Smart Rain, an incredible Black Friday sale going on right now all the way through November. And so Smart Rain's going to be giving those controllers along with a free iPad or Apple iPad to commercial properties who are going to be signing up for paid cellular and hosting subscriptions. Visit smartrain.net for more information at smartrain.net. Scott, what's with Colorado? Like, what is their identity? I mean, you look at these teams, everybody knows what Utah's identity is. Whenever we go to Pac-12 Media Day, you know, we spoke with Carl Durrell this year, Mel Tucker 2 years ago, and we're kind of like, what is Colorado? I mean, yeah, they had that year in 2016, but I don't know what Colorado identifies itself as a football program. I don't know what it is that you look at Colorado and say, I mean, they had some amazing years, obviously, back in the late 80s,
early 90s. Won a national championship. I mean, this is a place that has a history and a pedigree, and a lot of they had a lot of talent. They brought a lot of talent into their program in that time. Some really, really special players. And I know that it's always about recruiting, but it's about a coach that can recruit. I mean, it really is. And getting the right coach in, the guy that's just bought into a program. I think of Jonathan Smith at Oregon State. I mean, and you look at Oregon State a couple of years ago, and they were a dumpster fire. They were a team you go, Utah's going, that's an automatic win. And you go, not in this next century is Oregon State going to turn things around. But they have, and they have a lot because they got a coach that's bought into, and he's committed to the program.
Right.
He's a tenacious recruiter. He's a you get in the transfer portal. I mean, you can turn things around quickly. But to Mark's point, and I think it's a valid one, you really have to have that coach, and you need to create that consistency. And I just wonder if a place like Colorado really wants to win. I'm not convinced of that. I just think there are a lot of institutions in the Pac-12 where academics just supersedes everything, and I don't think there's this tenacious desire for a lot of programs to win. The ones I feel I don't think it's like that way at USC. It certainly isn't at Cal. I don't know that it is at Stanford. I don't know that it is at maybe even Washington. I mean, I just don't know. There's just a lot of schools, and so. You get these other conferences where football is king. Football matters in these conferences.
How does Utah take – I know Kyle Whittingham's vibe is not to take things not seriously, but when you say that, there's an automatic feeling of, you know, we don't even need to win this game. And I know that Kyle Whittingham doesn't get his guys ready with that attitude ever, but we know that you just it's a hard thing to try to take all It's a hard thing to try to put that in the back of your mind and go, no, we treat every game the same. It's not.
But when you have a culture that you've established, and there's just a certain way that you do things, and Utah's they just do it a certain way, and that's not going to change. And you've got a coach that's committed to that type of process. Coach Shula he reminds me a lot of Kyle Whittingham in that he can just kind of stay in that same grind, that same focus, the same practice schedule, the same routine. Week after week after week after week, and he doesn't ever get out of his lane, and Kyle Whittingham is really good at that. So for him to say, yeah, I'm going to take my foot off the gas this week because the game doesn't matter. Now, the players may, you know, they may not come out with the same effort and energy. I don't know, but I guarantee you that the focus and emphasis is going to be about finishing out the season, doing it the right way, and not taking anything for granted and making sure that you stay in that rhythm that you've developed, because this team is really peaking at the right time. Mark said another thing where, you know, Colorado just doesn't have the depth, and Utah has the depth of Utah might be the main reason that they've had so much success this year. Utah's fresh. They're fresh because they've got all these players in these positions. They can run players through and sub them out by design, not because they're tired, so that when you get to the end of the year, you're not all beat up, you're not all banged up, and you're still playing with a high motor and a lot and high intensity. And it really jumped out at me against Oregon last week, where Utah was just fresh. So having built a culture and having that freshness, that is huge.
I'm interested to see how this thing turns out tomorrow, to see if Colorado shows up for it, see how well Utah shows out, you know. And you said it, it's kind of a weird thing to try to plan for, where you go, man, it'd be nice to be ahead by enough to get some of those reserves in and rest some of your guys. It's like famous last words, right, when you start talking about that with a game. But
well, a couple of years ago when Utah played BYU, you know, they were down by 3 touchdowns, I think, or
they're
two.
Kind of coasting to the next week, right, because yeah, it didn't matter.
It did. The game meant nothing.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
What is that?
And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. It's Unrivaled. Former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, myself, Alex Keery. We're here all the way up until 5 o'clock. You're going to get a Jazz pregame coming up here in just a little while. This band you're listening to is the band of the day, Black Label Society. Band of the day brought to you by LiveNation.com. Find out more about these artists and information about tickets. Go to LiveNation.com. They're coming to Salt Lake City this weekend. You can go see where those tickets are. So let's do it. Black Label Society. Also, by the way, if we're doing, if we're jumping into it now, the NFL Roundup, we just got a couple segments left here before we start giving thanks, Scott. So I'm excited about being able to give thanks with you here, buddy.
Well, and you know, we're going to listen to the Jazz or watch the Jazz game. I mean,
did you say you want me to come over? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
your
come
house
on.
Is like right down
I
the
won't
road.
Be there, but yeah, come right over.
The NFL Roundup brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used vehicles in inventory, shop online, LHMUsedCars.com. We're here at General RV all the way up till 5, though. If you come in, throw your name in the box, we're giving away a lucky pair of tickets to the third row for the Jazz and Spurs on December 17th. Imagine having that third row ticket, man. That'd be awesome. But come down. We're wrapping up our tour to fans. It's our way of saying thank you for an awesome season of General RV hanging out with us every week. So it's been a lot of fun. NFL Roundup, Scott, means NFL stories. And so let's jump in here. Robert Saleh was asked about why they brought in Joe Flacco to the team. It seems like a pretty obvious answer because they needed a quarterback. They got like nobody. Now, he's unvaccinated. They said that they knew that and they were taking the shot at it anyway. He, of course, was exposed this week to COVID, and so he's on the COVID no-fly list, and so is Mike White, which means Zach Wilson, who we think is 100% healthy. According to the team, he is. He's getting the start this weekend, so this is a lot of stuff to have to juggle. We've talked about this with the college football side of things and how annoying last year was for these coaches and players to have to go through all the protocols. But, man, it's a weird, weird world to have to deal with. You sign a guy, he plays for 1 week, and then he has to go onto the COVID list.
Well, Joe Flacco's a good player.
Yeah.
He'd be a good mentor for Zach Wilson. It's something that they've needed, I think, from the very beginning. You typically, when you get a young quarterback, you get an old veteran guy. And then as that young quarterback grows and gets older, you switch it, right? And so then you have an older veteran starter, and you get a young, you know, apprentice, maybe not necessarily a guy that's going to be your long-term solution, but that's kind of how you – because you don't want two old veteran quarterbacks on the same team because it's too many roosters in the hen house.
Right, sure.
You know, did I say that one right?
Roosters. Is that in the metaphor? Yeah. You got the two animals, right? They're both in the chicken family.
Yeah. So, but aside from this, it feels like there's something not right with Zach Wilson. Like, because they talked about mechanics breaking down.
What does that
have
mean?
To bring...
I was going to ask you about that. When they go, oh yeah, his fundamentals were started to break down. That's why they're bringing in. That's why they're bringing in John Beck.
What I wonder is not fundamentals, but like emotionally, is he like kind of maybe a little bit shell shocked?
That pressure's starting to get to him.
And it could, because you want to see a guy through his rookie year. It's going to be ups and downs, but it's going to be a climb. And when you're not seeing that, you think of Mac Jones with New England. I mean, this guy just has had a nice steady incline. And another guy that maybe the same thing is Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has struggled, and they're trying to figure out what do we do? Do we go back to an offense the guy knew in college, because he's not getting the concept of having to read a defense in the NFL, and it's new to him. And I'm not saying Zach Wilson doesn't have that, because I think he's further along maybe in his IQ of football than Trevor Lawrence. But it just feels like they're taking their own sweet time with this injury. This is an injury that's 10 days. And if you're a team and you're the guy that, man, they want to get in there, it just seems like Zach Wilson should have been playing before now. And I don't know how – I don't know this – but if it's an MCL, it doesn't take that long. I mean, a lot of guys will play through something like that or play within a week, and it just seems odd. And to kind of bring Joe Flacco in and have these issues and all this stuff, because it's like we really don't even want to play Zach Wilson right now.
I wonder if his head's in the game, and I wonder if he – If this is an early, like, we didn't want to get you in yet either, but I guess we're going to have to, you know, like that feeling.
Well,
of,
they chose that from the beginning. They said, Zach's our guy, and there was no competition. He's just like, we're throwing that guy out there. It's really hard your first year to really do anything.
I think they got to keep Joe Flacco on the staff. It wouldn't be bad to keep, not just this year, I'm saying, keep him signed on. Keep that guy on the roster for a little while to at least mentor this kid as he's kind of going through his career. That's a guy who went to a Super Bowl. You know,
well, he's got to get over COVID.
No, I know. I'm saying after all this, he gets over COVID.
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
And the Jets and the – oh, you don't know if he's going to get over COVID.
Yeah, he's to get over it. And, yeah.
Get over your COVID, bro. Well, I just – I think that
– trying to think of is there a guy out there that would be a good mentor quarterback –
Hey, Fitzmagic, he can go
yeah,
back
but he's
to.
Already, he's already been there. Before.
I know, but
been there, done that.
That won't preclude the guy from going in there.
Fitzmagic is a guy you don't want to have there.
What about Gardner Minshew?
Because
he's already kind of
he wants to play.
See, you
need a guy that doesn't really want to play.
Like, you want a backup who's like, hey, please don't put me in, coach.
Right, I'll be a mentor.
I'll take that $5 million a year paycheck.
Yeah.
And hey, how about Taysom Hill? He's a proven backup. Could you imagine both of those guys on the same roster? We're bringing in a veteran backup quarterback. Well, what else is he? Well, tight end. He could also be a running back, maybe. He might be handing the ball off to Taysom Hill in the next couple weeks. I don't know.
Well, imagine Zach Wilson throwing to Taysom Hill in a game.
As soon as that ball gets completed, the universe explodes. Yeah. It just is like this weird inversion of stuff. The New York Jets have fired their OC. The Giants fired their OC, Jason Garrett. It took Jerry Jones, what, 15 years it felt like to finally fire his buddy Jason Garrett. The Giants are with him, and we're not even all the way through the season yet, and they do not like what he's doing with Daniel Jones. They don't like what's going on with that offense. Is that Jason Garrett's fault, though? I mean, they've got some injuries there. They've got all sorts of problems.
Well, it's always someone's fault, and it's either the players or the coach, and it just kind of depends on where it is. I've never been a big fan of Daniel Jones. I don't think the Giants really have a lot of talent offensively. And Jason Garrett's had a lot of success offensively as a coach. I liked the hire before. You have to also wonder, and I know this probably isn't a thing, but maybe it is. You're talking a longtime Cowboy, Jason Garrett. I mean, he played for the Cowboys, he coached for the Cowboys, and he goes to the New York Giants.
That seems like a
weird, just almost, yeah. It's like, really? Like,
you're already on thin ice.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, finding any possible excuse to get. See, it's like, because they're going, yep, those Cowboys, you just never can trust them, and kind of thing. And And I know I'm being a little bit funny about it, but I just wonder in
but
the back of someone's
there's
mind,
there's a little bit of that.
There's a little bit of that there. I really think that.
Who is it that I always forget? Is it the Maras that own
the Maras?
The Mara family?
Yeah.
They definitely. That's a family that's like, they've hated the Cowboys for decades.
Yes, they're,
and they're all, and you know, in back rooms, they go, plus he played for, he was a Cowboy. Yeah. Why would you do this?
Exactly.
Why would you try to do something like this? All right. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Got our two-minute drill to wrap things up here. We're at the General RV at Point of the Mountain. You can come down. Last final waning moments for you to be able to put the name in for those third row tickets to the Jazz Spurs for next month. Put them in there. Be a hero and win those tickets for that family member. And just tell them that you bought them for them. Say, hey, that's how much I love you. We're going to wrap things up. Coming up here, two-minute drill right around the corner. Stay with us. It's 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium Grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's 97.5, 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network. It's unrivaled. Former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, myself, Alex Keery. We're here all the way up until 5 o'clock. You're going to get a Jazz pregame coming up here in just a little while. This band you're listening to is the band of the day, Black Label Society. Band of the day brought to you by LiveNation.com. Find out more about these artists and information about tickets. Go to LiveNation.com. They're coming to Salt Lake City this weekend. You can go see where those tickets are. So let's do it. Black Label Society. Also, by the way, if we're jumping into it now, the NFL Roundup, we just got a couple segments left here before we start giving thanks, Scott. So I'm excited about being able to give thanks with you here, buddy.
Well, and we're going to listen to the Jazz or watch the Jazz game. I mean,
did you say you want me to come over? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
your
come
house
on.
Is like right down
I
the
won't
road.
Be there, but yeah, come right over.
The NFL Roundup brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used vehicles in inventory, shop online, LHMUsedCars.com. We're here at General RV all the way up till 5, though. If you come in, throw your name in the box, we're giving away a lucky pair of tickets to the third row for the Jazz and Spurs on December 17th. Imagine having that third row ticket, man. That'd be awesome. But come down. We're wrapping up our tour to fans. It's our way of saying thank you for an awesome season of General RV hanging out with us every week. So it's been a lot of fun. NFL Roundup, Scott, means NFL stories. And so let's jump in here. Robert Saleh was asked about why they brought in Joe Flacco to the team. It seems like a pretty obvious answer because they needed a quarterback. They got like nobody. Now, he's unvaccinated. They said that they knew that, and they were taking the shot at it anyway. He, of course, was exposed this week to COVID, and so he's on the COVID no-fly list, and so is Mike White, which means Zach Wilson, who we think is 100% healthy. According to the team, he is. He's getting the start this weekend, so this is a lot of stuff to have to juggle. We've talked about this with the college football side of things and how annoying last year was for these coaches and players to have to go through all the protocols. But, man, it's a weird, weird world to have to deal with. You sign a guy, he plays for 1 week, and then he has to go onto the COVID list.
Well, Joe Flacco's a good player.
Yeah.
And,
he'd be
he's
a good mentor for
guy.
He'd
be
for
a great,
Zach,
yeah. And it's something that they've needed, I think, from the very beginning. You typically, when you get a young quarterback, you get an old veteran guy. And then as that young quarterback grows and gets older, you switch it, right? And so then you have an older veteran starter, and you get a young, you know, apprentice, maybe not necessarily a guy that's going to be your long-term solution, but that's kind of how you, because you don't want two old veteran quarterbacks on the same team because it's too many roosters in the hen house.
Right, sure.
You know, did I say that one right?
Roosters. Is that the metaphor?
Yeah.
You got the two animals, right? They're both in the chicken family.
Yeah. So, but aside from this, it feels like there's something not right with Zach Wilson. Like, because they talked about mechanics breaking down.
What does that
mean?
I was going to ask you about that. When they go, oh, yeah, his fundamentals were started to break down, that's why they're bringing in John Beck.
What I wonder is not fundamentals, but, like, emotionally, is he, like, kind of maybe a little bit shell-shocked?
That pressure's starting to get to him.
Because you want to see a guy through his rookie year. It's going to be ups and downs, but it's going to be a climb. And when you're not seeing that, you think of Mac Jones with New England. I mean, this guy just has had a nice steady incline. And another guy that maybe the same thing is Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has struggled, and they're trying to figure out what do we do? Do we go back to an offense the guy knew in college, because he's not getting the concept of having to read a defense in the NFL, and it's new to him. And I'm not saying Zach Wilson doesn't have that, because I think he's further along maybe in his IQ of football than Trevor Lawrence. But it just feels like they're taking their own sweet time with this injury. This is an injury that's 10 days. And if you're a team that and you're the guy that, man, they want to get in there, it just seems like Zach Wilson should have been playing before now. And I don't know if it's an MCL, it doesn't take that long. I mean, a lot of guys will play through something like that or play within a week, and it just seems odd. And to kind of bring Joe Flacco in and have these issues and all this stuff, because it's like we really don't even want to play Zach Wilson right now.
I wonder if his head's in the game, and I wonder if this is an early, like, we didn't want to get you in yet either, but I guess we're going to have to, you know, like that feeling.
Well, they chose that from the beginning. They said, Zach's our guy, and there's no competition. He's just like, we're throwing that guy out there. It's really hard your first year to really do anything.
I think they got to keep Joe Flacco on the staff. It wouldn't be bad to keep, not just this year, I'm saying, keep him signed on. Keep that guy on the roster for a little while to at least mentor this kid as he's kind of going through his career. That's a guy who went to a Super Bowl. You know,
well, he's got to get over COVID.
No, I know. I'm saying after all this, he gets over COVID.
No, and that's what I'm saying.
And the Jets and the – oh, you don't know if he's going to get over COVID.
Yeah, he used to get over it.
Get over your COVID, bro. Well, I think that
– trying to think of is there a guy out there that would be a good mentor quarterback –
Hey, Fitzmagic, he can go
back to.
Yeah,
but he's already been there.
Before. I know, but
been there, done that.
That won't preclude the guy from going in there.
Fitzmagic is a guy you don't want to have there.
What about Gardner Minshew?
Because
he's already kind of
wants to play.
See, that's true.
You need a guy that doesn't really want to play.
Like, you want a backup who's like, hey, please don't put me in, coach.
Right, I'll be a mentor.
I'll take that $5 million a year paycheck.
Yeah.
And hey, how about Taysom Hill? He's a proven backup. Could you imagine both of those guys on the same roster? We're bringing in a veteran backup quarterback. Well, what else is he? Well, tight end. He could also be a running back. Maybe he might be handing the ball off to Taysom Hill in the next couple weeks. I don't know.
Well, imagine Zach Wilson throwing to Taysom Hill in a game.
As soon as that ball gets completed, the universe explodes. Yeah. It just is like this weird inversion of stuff. The New York Jets have fired their OC, the Giants fired their OC, Jason Garrett. It took Jerry Jones. What, 15 years it felt like to finally fire his buddy Jason Garrett? The Giants are with him, and we're not even all the way through the season yet, and they do not like what he's doing with Daniel Jones. They don't like what's going on with that offense. Is that Jason Garrett's fault, though? I mean, they've got some injuries there. They've got all sorts of problems.
Well, it's always someone's fault, and it's either the players or the coach, and it just kind of depends on where it is. I've never been a big fan of Daniel Jones. I don't think the Giants really have a lot of talent offensively. And Jason Garrett's had a lot of success offensively as a coach. I liked the hire before. You have to also wonder, and I know this probably isn't a thing, but maybe it is. You're talking a longtime Cowboy, Jason Garrett. I mean, he played for the Cowboys, he coached for the Cowboys, and he goes to the New York Giants.
That seems like a
weird, almost, it's like, really?
You're already on thin ice.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, finding any possible excuse to get. See, it's like, because they're going, yep, those Cowboys, they just never can trust them, and kind of thing. And And I know I'm being a little bit funny about it, but I just wonder in
but
the back of someone's
there's
mind,
a little bit of that.
There's a little bit of that there. I really think that.
I always forget. Is it the Maras that own
the Maras?
The Mara family?
Yeah.
They definitely. That's a family that's like, they've hated the Cowboys for decades.
Yes, they're,
and they're all, and you know, in back rooms, they go, plus he played for, he was a Cowboy. Yeah. Why would you do this?
Exactly.
Why would you try to do something like this? All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. Got our two-minute drill to wrap things up here. We're at the General RV at Point of the Mountain. You can come down. Last final waning moments for you to be able to put the name in for those third-row tickets to the Jazz Spurs for next month. Put them in there. Be a hero and win those tickets for that family member. And just tell them that you bought them for them. Say, hey, that's how much I love you. We're going to wrap things up. Coming up here, two-minute drill right around the corner. Stay with us. It's 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Okay, welcome back. It is Unrivaled. Final segment here. We're going to wrap things up here pretty quick. We're at the General RV for the Tour de Fans, wrapping things up on that as well. By way of announcement, as we like to say, Jake and Ben are going to be this Friday at the Hot Tub Factory Outlet for their Black Friday sale in Draper, right next to Cowabunga Bay. That's right where we are, over here. So
yes.
So come over and jump in and get one of those hot tubs. Get one of those hot tubs for Black Friday. Jake and Ben are going to be there on Friday, 10 to noon. That music in the background means one thing, Scott. We are firing up our two-minute drill, and it's a literal two-minute drill today. What do you got?
Well, late in the football game, you're going to go on the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, get a trophy, go home happy, because everyone goes home happy today with two COVID shots and a plethora of desserts.
They got that basket of dum-dums over there.
Yeah.
I would have had about 11 back in the day.
Yes, you would.
Before the end of the show.
You'd have multiple dum-dums in your mouth at the same time.
I hate you. Hey, Real Salt Lake. I know you're going to act like this is so weird we're talking about soccer, but guess what? Real Salt Lake upset the Seattle Sounders in the playoffs last night. This is the wild thing. 120 minutes of total play, 90 minutes plus the 30 minutes of overtime, or extra time as they like to say in soccer. They had zero shots on goal to 21 to Seattle. They had zero shots on goal. They end up winning on that on the shootout. And even then, all teams made all their final shootout shots. And then Salt Lake or Seattle missed theirs. And Salt Lake made their sixth. And now they've moved on to the playoffs. It's just an insane story. I know you don't like soccer, but that's a pretty amazing story.
Oh, it's an incredible story. Incredibly confusing, because how do you not have a single shot the whole entire game and then you end up and win? And then everyone kicks it. You know, let's kick
What's
it some
more. What's
the
football equivalent?
And finally someone kicks the last one.
Football equivalent is
0-0.
It's 0-0, and the team snaps the ball over their own head for a safety. You didn't do anything. You didn't score. But, hey, you go, yeah, we didn't actually even attempt. We didn't ever get in the red zone. The other team just gave us the game.
I mean, good for RSL. That's amazing, because it is a massive upset.
Ooh, the old patronizing good for
whatever.
You, huh?
What?
All right. Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Hey, Bam is going to join us one last time here on the horn from General RV. Bam, one last message for the people who are out there looking for an RV. Why should they come into General RV?
You guys need to come to General RV to get set for next year. Everybody needs to you can find something on the lot, but if you want to do an order, that could take 6 months. So you need to come down and come see Bam Bam the RV Man. It is Brett Moore, but Bam Bam the RV Man, because there's three Bretts here.
There are three Bretts.
Oh, I thought your name was Boyd.
Send me the three Bretts. Send me the three Bretts. That's what I would do. I walk in and go, bring all the Bretts on. I'll choose from here, okay? So you can get the best deals here. They have their best inventory in the last 2 years. And they buy their inventory, and so they have a lot more wiggle room on those prices instead of just like being on loan from some manufacturer. So, Bam, thanks for having us today, man. This has been a lot of fun.
We love having you guys here. You guys run an awesome show, and always a lot of fun to be around.
Thanks, Bam. All right, there it is. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors?
I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby?
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.